Now, I don't have an intro story this week. It's not out of, well, it's kind of out of laziness because I didn't even actually look for an intro story, but I saw something.
There's stuff going around, yeah.
When I was perusing Instagram, that just kind of broke my brain a little bit, and I just wanted to share it with the class. So basically, it was like an inspirational quote, and it had like... It had like an image, a video in the background of just like sort of trash on the street. And it was
okay.
And it was like, if anyone ever calls you trash, just remember it's called a trash can, not a trash cannot.
Oh my gosh.
That's not news.
I know it's not news. That's I never said it was when has your intro story ever been news?
That's just a really shitty joke.
It's well, not a news. Is it story? Supposed to be a joke or is it someone's bad attempt at
an
inspirational quote?
What, social commentary?
Yeah.
On rubbish in this... Bloody audio dropped out.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you think it was a joke, Tara, or do you think it's someone actually trying to be inspirational?
You know, it's like one of those things. It's like however you see it is what it is. It's like in Kung Fu Panda when they open up that scroll and it's just a mirror. It's like whatever you interpret it. Whatever meaning you take from it, if you think it's deep, then it's deep. You have a little giggle, good for you.
The trash can is either half empty or half full. No,
just depends on what you feel.
Well, I, after saying that, I was thinking, I wonder if there's any more of these like weird, underhanded, inspirational quotes. And I could not find anything... Other than, like, weird, I did research for this, but not for an intro story. Other than there was one that I found that I thought was kind of funny. It was like, always give 100% unless you're giving blood. Because you'll die.
See, is that really inspirational?
No. No. No, it's the opposite. It's demotivating.
All right, well, I came up with my own one, all right? You ready? You've never heard this one before. When life gives you lemons,
yeah,
you should be happy because lemons are a great source for vitamin C, fiber, and other plant-based compounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So inspiring. Really deep. I'm gonna put that one in my journal.
This reminds me of that vampire show, The Social Vampire. This is social vampire shit going on right now where I'm feeling drained.
That's what we do in the shadows.
That's it. I'm feeling drained right now. I feel like I've lost life from this interaction.
Oh, I'm draining your energy, Lockie. Oh, that's fantastic. They're supposed to be inspirational.
Yeah.
I'm inspired. Don't
yeah, learn. Nah.
Hello and welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. My name is Zach, and I am here with my co-host. How you doing, Lockie?
I'm going well, mate. How you doing?
I'm doing
we got
good.
some interesting shit going on in the world that we probably shouldn't talk about. Hey,
there is always shit happening in the world that we should not be talking about on this show. I am 100% positive.
That's
of
it.
That
we gotta keep it to the games.
You need people with better opinions than us on that stuff. Well, sorry. Anyway. This week, we are lucky enough to have the one and only Tara on, or AOC Burner, also known as on Twitch. Tara, how's it going?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
Doing well. Sorry for that terrible intro. I did not know where to go. Start.
It's like, how's it going? You're like, yeah, good, and you're just breaking down.
Oh,
he's thinking about how much he needs to edit out. That's what he's thinking. Poor Zach.
Oh, I love editing. It's fun. I'm stoked to have you on, though, Tara. We've got a massive episode to get to. But before we get stuck into it, can you let everyone know where they can find the content that the you put out into the world?
On twitch.com/AOCBurner. I have very riveting content playing Fortnite. Yeah, it's great.
Oh, yeah. Bloody oath. Bit of Fortnite.
Very deep
definitely
stuff.
We've definitely never talked about Fortnite on this show, so I'm keen to get into it. That's
well,
sure.
I'm an expert now. What can I say?
Bloody oath. Now, I just want to make a quick apology to anyone who may have tried to tune in to twitch.tv/news2reviews at 6:30 on Wednesday, because I didn't stream The Quarry like I said I was going to.
I know. What was that about? I was watching out on that night, and I'm like, where the fuck is he?
I know. I've had a bit of a stressful week. I found out that I have to move out of my house at some point. I've got a bit of time, I think. But right now, you know, I live in Sydney. The rental market is completely fucked. The housing market in general, the whole real estate industry is a complete joke. But particularly renting, you're getting fucked very hard, so it's gonna be a fun time. So I was really not feeling playing the games and putting a camera in front of my face. But this week,
you gotta take care of yourself, mate. That's more important. I think hopefully our dear listeners will understand.
I'm feeling all right now. I've come to terms with it. The anxiety has settled down a little bit. So this week, 6:30 p.m. on Wednesday, Australian Eastern Standard Time, twitch.tv/news2reviews. Check me out playing The Quarry. And yeah, if you can leave a rating or a review wherever you listen to the podcast, Spotify allows you to rate the podcast. It only takes you a second. It's the best way you can support our podcast and help it get into the ears of more people. But we have had more June. June continues to be June. It has been a massive month of gaming news so far. It's just continued. We're going to get stuck into the gaming news, peeps.
Let's do it.
All right. Activision Blizzard.
All right, here we go.
Just a really, really quick nutshell catch-up of the Activision Blizzard debacle for anyone out there who may have not been privy to all of it. So, I think it was last year when everything went down. Fuck, it feels like a lifetime ago. I'm pretty sure it was last year, though, right, Lockie? So.
No, the Don't You Have a Phone. I thought that was 2 years ago at this point.
No.
That was ages ago.
I mean the real fucked up shit.
The workplace fucked up. Yeah, but there's so many different lenses. I mean, like, you know, I was just looking at it from content. Definitely. Last year, shit went down. I think it was actually towards the end of the year before, and then it started ramping up, and then all the commentary started coming out, and they spoke in response to it, said they'd come out with an action plan. There was going to be all this great shit, all these reforms, you know, all these things that you would say if you were in that sort of role, and you know, maybe you wouldn't be the one having to actually follow through on it, maybe.
Yeah.
let's see if they followed through. It's been a while. How are they tracking?
Okay, so just to sum it all up there, that's all in reference to a workplace culture that has a culture of bullying and harassment. A lot of it gender discrimination against women. Some really bad instances of fucked up shit has gone on at Activision Blizzard. And anyway, the Activision Blizzard announced all the way back when all that stuff started happening that it was conducting an investigation using some third-party partners. And that investigation has concluded.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Wouldn't you know, Activision Blizzard's internal investigation showed no evidence that the board ever intentionally ignored or attempted to downplay the instances of gender harassment that occurred and were reported.
Whoa.
There you go.
Okay.
Far out.
Okay,
Tara,
wow.
Can you believe that their own investigation didn't find any evidence of this stuff? It seems so certain.
Mind-boggling. How? How could this have happened? Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it feels like, I don't know if you've ever watched like this TV show called Succession. They had to do like this internal investigation about their own companies, like, you know, sexual assault cases, blah, 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 blah. And this one employee just like went in there in like the dark of night, like on Thanksgiving, everyone's at home, and just burned all the papers. That's what I imagine happening.
Okay.
That's what I think happened.
Bobby Kotick is just there while everyone's eating Thanksgiving dinner, just yeah. sweating and
yeah.
flushing stuff down the toilet. Oh, dear. Lockie, what do you think of the results of this investigation? Oh.
I think it's I think it's interesting. I'd like to I think I would want to pass out the commentary around the results and how they came about it, what the methodology was, what evidence they were able to review, oh, no. come into light. Yeah, but I'm just trying to wrap my head around this end result, given all of the allegations and accusations over the course of last year. I would want to see a little bit more just to understand how they came to that point. And because it's an interesting comment saying that they found, what was it, no evidence of an intent to sexually harass and abuse of, and
yeah,
what have
or,
you.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to.
There were two degree, yeah, so there were two qualifying elements there which we can really dig into, because I think, because that doesn't necessarily mean that it didn't happen. It just means that either, A, they didn't find evidence, which, as you say, burning documents, yeah. emails, not sharing things short dinner. Of a court subpoena. Maybe they didn't get a lot of cooperation internally with this project. I wonder why. You know, like, there's a lot of things that can go into that. And then, B, even if they do establish that they weren't able to find any evidence, it still doesn't address the actual allegations and accusations components. So did they find that there was validity on that side from the employees and the claims and the focus? So they've only looked at it from a very specific lens, is my takeaway from that one line, if that's the verbatim line that was given. So yeah, interesting.
It's interesting you talk about all the methodology and everything, and this is how I imagine it going. Hello, yeah. ma'am, sir, investigator, would you like to check out the records? Oh, yes, I would. They go into the back room and they're just like, keep quiet. I'll give you money. And that's probably what happened. I'll let you play Overwatch 2 before everyone.
This is all speculative. This is all allegedly. We don't know what is going on in this company, in the hearts and minds and souls of this area. And yeah, it is an interesting point, though. And I think that's where getting a little bit more information around the methodology behind it and clarity as to the process, how they conducted the investigation, that allows us to assuage those potential thoughts as to what went on. How did they get to this point?
Lockie, you should just trust them, Lockie. I don't know what they've done to betray your trust. You should just trust Activision Blizzard that they're doing the right thing for everyone involved.
Yeah. I must say, Activision Blizzard, I do like playing Overwatch. Please don't sue me. I love you a little bit. Just kidding. I'm really kidding. All speculation.
Well, I was hoping that Square Enix was kidding with this announcement. Oh, shit. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth has been announced, so it's the next step in the Final Fantasy VII remake series.
70 games.
Which,
oh, there's a lot of qualifiers there as well. Nothing straightforward in this world at the moment, is it?
Now they've confirmed that there's going to be a trilogy, and the Rebirth one's coming out next summer. So winter for the US, but it'll be summer next year for us. So yeah, it's going to be in three parts. A game that used to be one on the PS1 is now going to be split into three. I guess
actually,
it's better than four.
Actually, Zach, you say that, but with that said, it was one of the few PlayStation games that had, I think, four discs that came with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's something to be said there. It was a bloody massive game for its time as well, and people were mind blown that it was all sold in a single package considering how much content you got. So, you know.
But still, the entirety of the game length was as long as what the first part of Final Fantasy VII Remake was. So
yeah, I know. Cool. That game just kept going. I never finished it. I think I ran out of steam at the Ghost the ghost train wreck area. I'm like, I'm not driving any of this. And I think at that point, there was one battle in particular with the mobs, where I literally, in the middle of the battle, just put my controller down, walked out, cooked dinner, came back, the battle was over, and we won. And I was like, okay, so yeah, and that was sort of like the wizard behind the curtain moment for me, where I'm like, okay, so this game, literally, you do not need to think at all unless you're fighting a boss. There is literally nothing that needs to be done on your side, assuming, you know, you're upgrading things and modifying things as you're expected to take on those boss battles. But if you're doing that, like, yeah, it's complete autopilot, which I found very disengaging.
Do you have any love for Final Fantasy VII or the remake at all, Tara?
Look, I like how it looks. In theory, I'm like, wow, what a banging game. But then I like actually play it and I'm like, what the hell is happening? I have no idea what's going on right now. Like, yeah. I feel like I'm way too behind. I have to do a whole like 5-hour catch up on just what the story is.
No, but that's the thing too, Tara. Like, I had the same experience as you. I played the demo and I was like, this is crazy. All this crazy shit's going on. I'm intrigued.
It looks great. Sounds great. It's dazzling. Yeah. But then when you get into it.
I bought it day one and there was just so much shit that I was like, what is the point to all this stuff? And I'm like, surely by the time I finish the game, it'll all come together and it all makes sense. But no. It is just completely pointless and it is just there to pad out the time of the game. I was not a fan of Final Fantasy VII Remake. It gives me feels of The Hobbit, the movies. You know how they took the smallest of Tolkien's books. And then they split it up into like two or three movies or something like that.
The padding issue. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. It's like, so you're going to get this really good story and then split it up in three ways and to fill it out and make it so each one's their own story. Just fill it with shit that has nothing to do with any of it. Get fucked. I couldn't care, but a lot of people are going to be really excited for this because it was popular.
It's Naruto after the first after the tune-in exams, basically.
Whatever. It's showcase time.
Someone will get that. Someone will absolutely get that. It'll be a fellow podcaster.
There'll be a weeb out there. I'm sure Anthony's sitting there going, very funny. Capcom had a showcase and there was so little I cared about in there that I only picked two things to talk about. I was saying last week, I think it was, like, why is Capcom having a showcase? They've been at every other showcase showing off the stuff that they have. Mm. Why do they need to have their own one? And this just confirms it. They don't need to have their own fucking showcase. What a waste of time.
Yeah, unless they're doing a new Devil May Cry, there's no point to it.
Yeah, well, they had nothing new to show at all. It was all, like, add-ons to stuff we'd already heard about. They're getting mercenaries for Resident Evil Village, or it might already had it. You're going to get to play as Lady Dimitrescu and a bunch of other things.
Ooh, that's fun.
It's just like, it's like a mode.
That's going to fulfill lots of people's fantasies.
I got a quick little non sequitur. As a kid, I used to, I only read the word mercenaries and from Diablo 2, and I thought it was mercenaries. And I said macaroni for the longest time.
Yeah, the macaronis.
Resident Evil 4 Remake, we got to see some gameplay. Sort of.
Kind of.
It was like little cut together glimpses of stuff. You get to see, is it Leon?
I think Leon. The main guy, Leon.
Leon opens a door. Looks pretty good. Looks like Unreal Engine 5 door opening.
Leon sits in a car.
That's about it. What did you think of the Resi 4 gameplay reveal in inverted commas? Because it kind of wasn't gameplay. I don't know.
Yeah. I think like the biggest part was just, I don't really know. I don't kind of remember if this was like that in all the other Resident Evil games, but it's that over the shoulder view. Which I don't know if I like. I'm like, I feel like the back of your character just blocks up half the screen. And it's a very spooky game. I feel like you have to be immersed, but I'm just like looking at the back of his head like, oh, I wonder what shampoo he uses. Like, his hair looks really nice. But then like there's a big monster in front of me I don't even realize.
Look at the wrinkles on the jacket. So you're more of a fan of the new ones like Seven and Village, where it's in the first person perspective.
I say fan very loosely, because the one thing you must know is I can't play it, like, even though it's not really like, you know, ooh, jump scare scary game, like there's a few, and it's a horror type game, I can't play them. I'll watch them to death, I'll watch people play them, and that's fine. When I'm in control, no, that's too much responsibility. No, I can't be responsible 100%. For my own anxiety. I can't do this.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I find Let's Plays so much fun in the horror space. Getting to go on a ride with someone else that's taking the wheel, where you can just sort of sit back and enjoy it from a detached sort of standpoint. Yeah. That's my favorite way of experiencing that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Roger, back in the day, used to stream some horror stuff, and he had a what do you call it, like a Twitch function where if someone donated, it only had to be like 10 bits. I think that was the minimum. Mm-hmm. It would like do like a really loud jump scare sound in his microphone. So he would be going through like a really intense moment. Then everyone will start like spamming the 10 bits. And hey, he gets bits out of it, but we also get to see him shit his pants as
But if they keep doing it, does he become like immune to jump scares?
Yeah, you got to... like space them out a bit, you know what I mean? Yeah, you gotta pick your moments, because they definitely can
otherwise
get too
just
much.
Boom, that's boom, sure. boom. And you're like, oh, I guess I'm 100%. Immune now.
Lockie, did you check out any of the Resi 4 gameplay at all?
Really no, gameplay.
Yeah,
no,
don't bother. Don't even bother.
Didn't
don't even
bother.
But maybe check out Exo Primal gameplay.
Oh, my.
It was like, it's that one with the dinosaurs falling from the portal in the sky, Lockie. I don't know if you remember watching that.
Yeah, I remember that. It was interesting. It looked kind of cheap, and it definitely looked like, you know, a game that you would get on sale, maybe.
Yeah, and after seeing some of the gameplay, it definitely kind of looks like that. I was getting nowhere near as janky and as ugly, but I was definitely getting a little bit of Earth Defense Force feels, you know, the one where you got to fight the giant ants and bugs and stuff.
Oh my
like
god,
that
is exactly what I was thinking of. Yeah, it's just got that cheap feel to it, where it's, you know, they know they're going for B movie schlock in any case, and so they've cheaped out on budget as well.
Looks like it could be kind of fun, maybe.
Looks
know.
More
what,
modern.
What do you think of Exo Primal, Tara?
I think there's a giant black hole in the sky, and literally thousands of dinosaurs are pouring out of it. And that's the whole game. I was so confused watching that. I'm like, okay, so it's showing me
what
all this stuff. It's showing me how to show them. No explanation for why the dinosaurs are falling out of the sky. Nothing. I'm just supposed to run with it. Okay, okay, I'll shoot them, I guess. Okay, you're telling me to shoot them, I'll shoot them. Why? I don't know. You didn't tell me.
Cloudy with a chance of dinosaurs. That's all it is.
Literally thousands.
Yeah, the game messages, don't worry about it. Just go.
Don't worry about it. Don't ask any questions. If I tell you to shoot a dinosaur, you're going to shoot a dinosaur, right?
I don't think there are any satisfying answers to those questions as to why mass dinosaurs would be coming out of a black hole in the sky.
Yeah.
It's gonna be some Lord Xenu shit, you know. I don't know where that's going to go. I'm down though. If they put this on a Game Pass, you know, or the PS Plus tiers, whenever that eventually comes to Australia, that'd be one I'd potentially check out, but it's definitely not one I'll be picking up day one, forking out. They're going to be charging full price for this, I guarantee it. They're not going to, even though it's a budget looking game, there's no way they're going to be charging budget. It's multiplayer, so it's probably going to be chock full of microtransactions. In saying that, Capcom isn't too bad with that stuff. Like, Monster Hunter is pretty good as far as microtransactions are concerned. So, yeah, I don't know. But that's enough of the AAA time. They did not have a lot to show there at all. It's indie time with the Guerrilla Collective. I don't know how, I'd never even heard of the Guerrilla Collective to this year, but it had some interesting stuff to show in it. So the first one that sort of stuck out to me was a game called Ugly. And it's a 2D puzzle platformer with like this sort of, I don't know, this really sort of creepy tone. It has like that sort of like cartoony art style, but there's just like with these really grotesque looking enemies. I don't know. It looks like it could be kind of cool. I don't know. Did you check out Ugly, Tara?
I did. I don't know how I feel about games that are like horror, but also like kind of cute at the same time. I'm like, oh, this is nice. You know, I feel good about this. And then there's like a mummy that like grabs people, and it's like, I don't know. You're giving me mixed signals here. I don't know what I feel about this.
Pick a
Yeah,
lane.
that's fair.
Yep.
In saying that, I'm very excited for Cult of the Lamb, and that's very much doing the cutesy but also fucked up thing. Kind of like Happy Tree Friends, I guess.
Oh, that scarred
Yeah,
me.
they're going for that kind of tone, but yeah, it's definitely not quite like that with Ugly though. But it
They're going
definitely
for
stood out to me on
that Has Been Hotel thing.
What's that? Sorry, Lockie.
Has Been Hotel. It's like a YouTube series that has the Invader Zim voice attached to it, so I think that's what they're going for, which is like that, you know, horror evil setting, but the actual content
Yep.
is much more lighthearted comic.
Oh,
Okay,
yeah.
fair enough. Kind of like those scary, the Don't You Open That Trap Door show on ABC. I don't know if you guys remember
Oh,
that one.
wow, that no one's gonna
Wow.
get that, even in
Don't you
Australia, they'll
open
be.
that trap door? Yeah, that's an old. Well, what about Scary Tales? That's another one. Or Goosebumps. Everyone knows
Oh, true.
Goosebumps.
No,
Oh,
I remember
Goosebumps.
Scary
There you go.
Tales. I was scared. Like, I was honestly like traumatized just from like the intro of that show when he gets that bucket of worms in the movies and just starts eating them, or it's like spiders or
Oh,
something.
yes! And that was at the start of every. God, what the fuck were people making children's shows
No,
on
they
back
made
in the
the
90s? What?
strangest children's shows. Like, honestly, they were like making them two traumatized children. They just wanted a generation of traumatized kids.
Oh, it was. Look, Coke was a big deal in the 80s, and that's where that all was coming from. Seriously, watch The Labyrinth. You watched the movie The Labyrinth,
Oh
which
my
was a
God.
movie, Jim Henson movie for kids, and you explained to me that without Coke in your response.
You know, all the creatures and everything in that movie, and nothing was scarier than David Bowie. Oh my God.
David
Scared the
Bowie's
shit out of me as a child.
massive package in that
Oh
movie.
my God.
Why did he have tights?
Yeah, he was
With the
wearing
package.
tights, and I
Anyway.
swear he was stuffing it as well at the same time, because it's just like, why?
Well, with this conversation, some people might say this podcast needs to learn its boundaries. The next game we're going to talk about is called Boundary.
Very smart.
It's a zero gravity PvP game. It looks like astronauts cross. What's that game called again? That really popular one that's been around for fucking
No
years.
Man's
God,
Sky.
what's it?
No Man's Sky.
No, oh my
No?
God. It's the shooter,
Call
the
of
PvP
Duty?
shooter. Sorry?
Call of Duty?
No, fuck.
I'm like,
What's
did
it
you forget Call
called?
of
It's
Duty?
like a PC game. Oh, it's got like a
Oh.
really generic name, like
Apex. Oh,
Crossfire or something like.
PUBG, player, PUBG, player on
No!
ground.
Oh my
No.
gosh.
Oh, if I say it, you guys will fucking flip too, because it's one that everyone. People have been playing it for. Is it CSGO?
Oh,
Counter
yeah.
Strike! Counter
Counter
Strike!
Strike. There we
Counter
go.
Oh my god! How could I not think of that? Anyway, it's like Counter Strike in space.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, there
Cool.
you go. So you're using like grappling hooks, like in like a OG spacesuit, as if you're, you know,
There's no grappling hooks in
Neil
Counter
Armstrong
Strike
or
Go.
whatever. And you're using.
But you're
You're
using.
using. So straight off the bat, it's not like Counter Strike at all. It's more like
It's like
Halo
Counter Strike because
Infinite.
you have a gun. That's it.
Well, yeah, it's tactical shooting, and it's like sort of it's very fast paced, and it's all about, you know, trigger like aiming and like being real trigger happy, I guess. So in that way, it's like quick death times as well too. So kind of like Call of Duty or yeah, Counter Strike as well too. But yeah,
Yeah.
it's in space. I don't know. What did you think, Tara? Do you care at all about Boundary?
Look, I'm gonna be real. I don't care a lot about Boundary because it looks like every other shooting game that you just described. So I'm like,
But it's
But
in
it's got grappling
space.
hook, it's got space. Oh my gosh. That's the thing about these games, though. Any sort of game with any kind of grappling hook at all, even like, I don't know, in Overwatch, you play a little hamster. It's got like a grappling hook thing it can spin around on. Fortnite even has grappling hooks. Can't use them. Can't use it. No, I have no concept of physics. I'm like, wait, hold on. Where am I going to, if I shoot this, where am I going to go? I don't know. Let's just do it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the gameplay now. I think we've undersold it. It's more zero G physics is the big appeal of the game. That's
what do you think space means? Zero G. You're in a space station. There's no gravity.
Yeah, I know you say that, but like if you play fucking Halo, most levels will be space themed, but it's not zero G. And I think this is the big, like, you know, this is a big selling point of this game. This would have been the elevator pitch on this game, is that we've got a really good zero G physics engine. Let's do a COD game, but zero G.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And it looks like it would probably make me vomit. And a game that's not going to make me vomit, nice. And I know that because I played the demo, was Slope Crashers. It's an arcade snowboarding game that has like combat as well too. And you play as cute little animals sliding down various ridiculous tracks.
I remember watching this. And my takeaway was you can play as like a little rubber chicken guy. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll give it a go. Little rubber chicken? All right.
And it's being developed by one person as well, too. They're like a one-person studio called, what are they called? Byte Parrot, I think was the name of their studio. Oh, yeah, and the name of the dev is called Peakstone. I think that's their real name. It's like, probably like a...
what do you call Byte it? Parrot.
Lockheed, have you checked out Slope Crashers yet?
No, I didn't know. Where are all these games coming from?
Dude, this is all from the Guerrilla Collective, these ones.
Oh, God. What's going on?
But I'm only picking a few.
Why are there so many showcase games going on at the moment? I feel like there's too many. Is it because it's just June. Before end of financial year? Yeah.
June, yeah. This is E3 time, Lockheed. Remember when E3 was a thing?
Okay, right. No, yeah, they're trying. So what's going on here is they're trying to get investments, get new investors, and also justify all of the money that's been funded from their previous shareholders. True. So they can say, guys, this is what we have. It's coming out. It's going to be great. It's going to make X amount of dollars. Okay, I get it now. Everything makes sense again. I'm not interested in this game.
Well, you know what? That's actually pretty fair because I played the demo of Slope Crashers and disappointingly, yeah, it's not very good. And I feel really bad saying this because it is a solo dev. So, you know, that's about as indie as it gets. One person making a game. But he's clearly bitten off more than he could chew. It looks and feels like a mobile game, but it's a PC game. It hasn't come out yet. You know, it's like an early access demo. It's not meant to come out till I think it's like the end of this year, but it just seems like one of those situations where he's just bitten off a lot more than he can chew. Like some of the, when you have it on the mode where you go really fast, it can feel pretty cool. There's like a good sense of momentum. But the way you jump has no impact. The tricks don't feel right. When you land, there's no sort of impact to your character. And all of the different your different boards you can use kind of felt the same. The characters were cute, but they kind of look a bit weird. They're like those. They look like characters from some kind of shitty free to play mobile game or something like that. I'm gonna stop shitting on this. I feel bad, solo dev. You know, it's not easy game development, but yeah, I would not pick up Slope Crashers. Maybe it'll be a lot better in 6 months' time, but yeah. I don't have a lot of hope there, but I have a lot of hope for this one. River Tales, Stronger Together. Ooh. Now, this one, it's like a indie, obviously it's an indie game, these are all indie games, but it's one where you play as like either a cute little fishy or a cute little kitty cat, and you're in a river, as the name might suggest, and basically... Ooh. You using the fish who can obviously be in the water and the cat who, you know, they're a cat, they fucking hate water, read a book. you got to get from one end of the river to the other. And it looks like it's going to be one of those games where you got to communicate with your co-op partner to figure out puzzles, to sort of propel yourself through the environment. But it looks really gorgeous. It's got this really pretty cel-shaded art style, and it's very colorful and very vibrant, and all the characters look really cute. They've got a frog at the start that has like a face on its bum, and then it turns around and you realize that its face isn't its bum, and you're like, oh, that's funny. I don't know. I thought it was cute. And Sammy Deej from The Inconsolables, let's play this together. I want to play this game with you. I don't know. What did you think of River Tales, Tara?
I thought what you thought. Oh, yeah, cute little cat, cute little fishy. Oh, how nice. And then when I actually thought about it, I'm like, there is no way I can play this game. Number one, because if you've ever played Overcooked with me, like, you're not my friend after that. It's a life-changing experience. I do not work well cooperating, right? No, like, I just feel like this would get so frustrating. And it's like, it's so cute. Like, it looks so nice, don't get me wrong. But that's just all going to be thwarted just by me getting super angry at whoever I'm playing with. Just like, no, you're fishy, do it right. Like, be the fishy.
So I think with Overcooked, you have that time constraint.
Yeah,
so
true.
It does make things way more stressful. Have you ever played It Takes Two?
Not yet. I want to, but I haven't played it yet.
Definitely check it out. It's like the perfect game to play with a partner or a friend or something. It is a lot of fun. And because, you know, those time constraints, you can just take your time to work out all the puzzles and stuff like that. And yeah, it can be a whole lot of fun. River Tales, plural. Did you check it out, Lockie?
Oh, I've just been looking at it then. It's an interesting art style. To be honest, it really reminds me of what literally anything rendered in 3D for the DS looked like, but more modern and fleshed out, and definitely the underwater graphics. The water graphics and the underwater graphics, I think, are sort of the big luscious addition. I'm trying to wrap my head around it. It looks like it was made for a mobile, but they've made the graphics just that little bit more fleshed out that I don't know if mobiles will be able to run this. So anyway, on the actual face of it, if the puzzles are engaging and fun, I think it's great to see more co-op sort of platforming games come out, because I think it's great for pretty much, you know, people who want to play with other people. Looks like a fun partner couple type activity if they're into gaming. But beyond that, the game kind of looks like, doesn't look like the best thing I've ever seen in that space.
Okay, fair. I'm a bit more easily sold on cutesy things. I think I see the cute little fish and the cat, and I'm like, help them.
Yeah, like you're into Animal Crossing and shit. And I think if you're like part of that crowd, if you're part of that crowd, you're willing to suspend disbelief for quality games and gameplay. You've got a lot. You've got your colors. You've got your colours, and that's pretty much all you wanted or needed, so here you go.
Well, one of my colours is definitely not green, because I'm no X-Bot. No, I'm not. I don't know. That was a terrible segue. Console wars are stupid. But it's time to talk about the Xbox and Bethesda showcase. Ooh. So this is the big one. This is the big, fat, juicy one for the week, with all the good AAA stuff that you could possibly want, sort of, not really, I don't know. Redfall. We saw a bit of gameplay for Redfall. Now, this is the one coming up from Arkane, who did Deathloop, Prey, Dishonored, all that stuff. This time they're doing a cooperative, I think, PvE type shooter. So you're going in and fighting off a whole bunch of NPC computer controlled enemies. And yeah, you're still doing all that great kind of arcane stuff. You're using really satisfying weapons. You've got abilities in your other hand that you can use, and it looks like they've just expanded on all that sort of stuff for Redfall. So yeah, look, kind of interesting. I'm not the biggest into my multiplayer games, but I do prefer PvE over PvP, so I might check it out. I'll see. Maybe it's one of those wait for the review ones. I'll see what happens. I don't know. Tara, what do you think of Redfall?
I feel like when I was watching the trailer for it, or like whatever the gameplay preview, it really switched it up on me. When I first started watching it, I'm like, oh, this is a horror game. All right. I'm already like, I'm not going to play this. Because anything, any sort of game that just has a flashlight function, no, no, that's it. Anything with a flashlight, I can't do it. I can't do it. If I can't see, I'm not meant to see. I'll close my eyes, okay? No. But then it switched up. And then it was like, yeah, all like the PvE, there were people like on top of buildings sniping and things like that. I'm like, oh, so this is kind of just like Left for Dead-y, Back for Blood kind of thing, except it's not zombies, it's vampires.
Yeah, yeah, no, you're spot on there, because yeah, that's the whole theme with this one. It's vampires, but it's not really spooky. It's kind of they're going for that kind of campy tone, I guess. No,
the vampires look awful. Everything, which is a shame, because the engine and the environments and textures are really nice. So
it looks good, I actually,
I just picked up Dying Light 2 on the PC, and pretty much spoilers for the upcoming review, but I'm not going to talk about Dying Light too much, but it that stuff looked like it was based on very old textures, and this looks like a nice polished version of what they really should have done in Dying Light 2. Except for the vampires look like shit. I don't know, I can't explain it. Why do the character models for the vampires look so terrible compared to everything else, when that's like the key focus of the game? I don't know.
Yeah, I've never really been a big fan of the character models in Arkane games. They always go for this weird cartoony style looking characters. And I don't know, sometimes I'm not a fan of the look of them. And it's funny, Lockie, because it seems like a lot of people are in your camp with this one as well. Because it's sitting at like, it's the dislike ratio on YouTube is sitting at a 5.3k dislikes to 6.9k likes. So it's still positive, but only just. So yeah, a lot of people aren't vibing with this one.
Yeah, weird. They look awful. They look awful. I just saw a bloody robot that looks fantastic. It looks like it's from, you know, that game with the robots, the Portal 2. they look like cute, really, really well put together Portal robots. And then you've got these fucking janky ass, low poly, low model quality vampires coming at you. Boring.
Yeah.
I don't know. So something has gone wrong.
Something that definitely wasn't janky ass and boring was what we got to see from Ark 2. In this Xbox showcase, we got to see CGI Vin Diesel riding a T-Rex to promote Ark 2, which is coming out next year. And do you reckon he grunts, Lockie? Oh boy, does he grunt. We get like three or four good Vin Diesel. I can't even do it. I just sound like I'm trying to clear my throat or something.
Vin Diesel just sounds like he has a cold.
He just has some bass to his voice I could never even hope to dream of. Lockie, do you care at all about Ark 2 and old Vinny D sitting on the old T-Rex?
Oh, sorry. I just heard that at the end. I was having audio issues and I couldn't hear what you were saying before. But from what I initially heard, I was going to tune out anyway. So continue.
Tara, do you care at all about Ark 2?
You know what? Is it a horror game? Because seeing Vin Diesel in that trailer was like a jump scare. I was not expecting that. Oh my gosh.
It's survival open world or something like that. Yeah.
Can I play as Vin Diesel in the game? That's all I want to know.
I don't know, but I dare say there's probably a lot of people out there who are curious about the exact same thing.
I'm sure you can character create some random bold dude. answer to that question is yes, you can play.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. I'll get it.
So then you basically be Vin Diesel in every game with a character creator then, basically.
Correct.
It was weird for this one because it was all supposed to be stuff that's coming out within a year, which makes sense, 2023 for Ark 2. But apparently it was all supposed to have gameplay in it, and I did not notice any gameplay in any of the Arc 2 stuff they showed. So that was a bit weird. But yeah, anyway. Then they showed off some Minecraft Legends, which looks fucking weird, but I'm really intrigued. Like, they're calling it an action strategy game. And it kind of looks like it is Minecraft, but the camera's pulled back a lot more, so you're seeing your character run around. It looks like you can, recruit monsters and stuff to your side and then use that to, like, attack other people's bases. And they've gone for this slightly different art style where, I don't know if it's just me, but it seems to me that things look a lot more vibrant and colorful, and there seems to be a lot more going on in the environment. Still looks kind of like your regular Minecraft environment, just with a lot more. I don't know. And Tara, what did you think of Minecraft Legends?
I was so confused because I went into the trailer thinking, okay, action strategy. Is this going to be like, when I started seeing all these like zombie pigmen come out in a big army, I'm like, okay, is it going to be one of those games where it's like, what is it, like turn-based, like strategy type like that, turn-based, army fighting army, but then it's just completely not, or I don't know, is it? Because I was very confused by the trailer. It shows you a lot, but also tells you nothing.
I think it's sort of like a top-down strategy real-time game, I think, kind of like Age of Empires, but the camera's not pulled back as far. It looks like you are controlling a single character, but it seems like you have the ability to tell other characters what to do, and you can build, so you can, like, build a big fortress and a base, and there appears to also be stories happening throughout the world. I don't know, it looks weird, and we don't have a lot of details. Yeah. Lockie, have you checked out any... I know, you've checked out of Minecraft a long time ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
He hasn't checked it out, and he is checked out.
Just move it. Yeah, move it.
Well, Lockie, I think you might actually be interested in this one. Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn. Okay, the name's terrible. Just bear
it
with me.
It sounds cheap. Immediately, I'm like, too long, sounds cheap.
And it is like a double A kind of studio, but it looks really cool. So it's like you play as this chick who has like a fox creature with her, and she uses an axe to hit things, and you got to like hit and dodge, and you have like a gun in your left hand, and it's kind of that, that sort of steampunk art style?
And here we go. It looks incredible. They should just revise the title because it sounded cheap, but it looks amazing.
Thank you. It looks really, really cool. Like, the fox, you can get to do stuff in combat. I'm keen. It looks like fun.
Yeah, I'm mad keen. Check out the trailer on this. Oh, there's a lot going on here.
That title, though, okay. You're right, Lockie. It is fucking awful. It's generic. I don't know what they'll think. When I search Flintlock, a million other things come up. You have to search, like, Flintlock game. Otherwise, you're not going to get any of this. So, yeah, they really need to revise that. But, yeah, Tara, what did you think of Flintlock?
It gives me kind of, I don't know, just from the way it looks, almost like Assassin's Creed vibes-ish. Mm. I don't know if that's correct. You know what? I haven't played a lot of Assassin's Creed, so don't quote me. But it does actually look good. Like, I feel like I don't play a lot of these types of games. But it looks nice. I like the fox. Like, the fighting style looks cool, except giant spiders. There were, like, these giant spiders in the trailer. Anything with giant spiders, I don't mess with that. You know what? That's unnatural. That shouldn't happen. No.
You're from Australia, Tara.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't be. Don't fit in here with the giant spiders. I can't deal with it. Small spiders even? No, I can't. I can't. No spiders. That's the only thing, like, pulling me away from this game. I'm like, spiders, so...
No, it's because you're from Australia. You have a natural fear of spiders. You should fear them. They're terrifying.
Anyone who doesn't, you obviously haven't been here.
Yeah, you clearly haven't come to terms with, like, how terrifying the spiders here are. Like, some of them are tiny and will fucking kill you, so you should fear them.
That's right. But if you want to be able to check out Australia without actually coming to Australia, Forza Horizon 3, I think it was?
Yeah.
3 is based in Australia. So, you can drive around and avoid all the spiders.
Just watch the scene from
Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets when they go into the forest and meet Aragog. That's basically Australia.
Why does everything have giant spiders? Is that, I swear, in like Lord of the Rings, there was like giant spiders too. Enough. I'm done.
It's a common trope. People don't like spiders. Spiders are scary.
It's like that natural, it's something we're all like naturally and instinctively afraid of. So they're just such, I don't know, horrifying enemies when they're in a game. But the reason why I brought up Forza Horizon was because Forza Horizon 5 is getting an expansion, but it actually looks really, really fucking cool. It's a Hot Wheels expansion, so it's Forza Horizon, except there's fucking Hot Wheels tracks everywhere extending out like into the sky over Mexico, and it looks like Trackmania, but with Forza Horizon graphics in this gorgeous Mexico environment. It looks really, really fucking cool. Tara, are you down to get some Hot Wheels happening?
You know what? Look. One thing as well that you must know about me, I don't drive, all right? I'm getting there in my own time, but I don't drive. Then I was like, okay, I've got Game Pass. Let me download Forza. When it first came out, I think it was 5. So I was like, okay, let me give this a go. It is so hard. Why is it like actual driving? Like the mechanics, I guess like people like that, realistic. But I'm like, I didn't come on my little beep boop Xbox to actually try to learn how to drive, all right? I just want to... loop-de-loop, that's all I want. But this looks fun. Like, it does look fun. I feel like I could try. I mean, if it's on Game Pass, like, I'll try it. But that's probably the extent. I'll try it one time, be awful at it. But it looks like a fun time. A little bright orange track in the sky. Yeah.
Yeah, with crazy high-detailed rendered environments around.
Yeah.
I think it looks amazing. I think, what a fantastic concept.
Yeah, that's
a
fun.
You just brought up Game Pass before, and that's actually a really good question. I'm going to check out to see if the expansion will come to Game Pass.
Oh, true. I feel like they do that sometimes. Sometimes they'll release the game with some expansions.
Includes games, premium add-ons, bundle. Not that I can find. It looks like that you got to buy bundles.
Oh.
Anyway, I'll keep looking for that anyway. They also showed Forza Motorsport, the new one. I don't know. It looks like more racing sim stuff. You know, you like Gran Turismo. It's like that, but it's Forza. I don't know. Who cares? 004, though, Lockie, I know you care about that. We got to see some gameplay. What did you think of 004's gameplay?
I haven't seen it, but I've seen Diablo 4 gameplay like a year ago, and my position still stands. I think it looks fucking great, and I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, bloody! I thought you would have checked out the gameplay for Diablo 4 100%. It looks really cool, like the art style they've gone with and all that. They've gone far more realistic. Yep. Do you care at all about Diablo 4?
All of this was covered years ago.
This is the first time we've got to see the gameplay, but okay.
It's not.
Worries.
It is not the first time.
Isn't that the first gameplay of Diablo?
We've seen demo of the game being played and what it was going to be depicted around. They showed us Druid and Barbarian class.
Oops.
Yeah. Okay. This is not new.
Sorry. Tara, do you care at all about Diablo?
What I did care about was when I was watching the trailer, I thought, or the gameplay or whatever, I'm like, it's not usually the type of game that I play. Then I saw character creation, and I'm like, I'm a sucker for character creation. Anytime I'm allowed to make someone, I will spend hours making this character just to play the game for 2 minutes after that and be like, I don't like the game, but I loved making that character.
Oh my God, that was this is how I fell in love with The Sims. I loved the character creation part the most.
Yeah, right. And then you play the game and you're like, oh, yeah, there you go.
You're like,
but just like making
I'm
something.
I'm just going to create another character.
Yeah. Make a big old family. That's it. What do they do? Nothing.
I cannot find any information on whether or not Hot Wheels will be included in Game Pass. So, I don't know. You might have to pay for it, people. You'll have to figure it out for yourselves. Anyway. Hideo Kojima announced he's making a game for Xbox, for Microsoft. Did he say anything about the game? No, he didn't. But nothing. Hey, Hideo Kojima making a game for Xbox. He's PlayStation royalty. Crazy. Lockie, do you care?
Oh, you know.
I don't know. I didn't play Death Stranding. I never really played the Metal Gear Solid games too much either. Yeah. So you know, I can't really speak for Hideo. I know he's got a big following. I know his name is a brand and it's attached to high quality polished AAA games. So mm-hmm. you know, I'll be keen once I actually see something like a mm-hmm. Diablo 4 gameplay years ago. yeah. So we'll wait and see.
All right, no, fair enough. Yeah, I'm like you, Lockie. I could not give two shits either. I'm not a Kojima fan. Tara, are you a Kojima fan?
See, that's the thing. I wish I could be a Kojima fan, but I've had an Xbox for the last two generations. So now I'm like, give me a little taste. Give me something.
Ready for your first Strand type game.
Yeah, yeah. Give me a little bit of that PlayStation exclusivity that I crave.
Hell yeah. Oh, well, this one's going to be exclusive, and it's going to be exclusive to your platform, Tara. Microsoft. Ooh. Starfield. We got our first look at some Starfield gameplay. Oh, yeah. We found out some interesting facts about it as well, too. Like, apparently there's going to be over 100 star systems with over 1,000 planets to explore in Starfield. There's some interesting stuff here. Tara, what did you think of the Starfield gameplay reveal?
Again, character creation. Oh, give me. It looks like that looks good. I don't know. What was that game that I played? You're going to say it's like completely wrong, but I think I started playing like The Other Worlds. Is that what the game is?
The Outer Worlds, yep.
The Outer Worlds, yeah. And it gives me the same kind of like vibe ish. Like some of the things, like, give me the same kind of vibe, especially when there's that robot coming off the big ship. I swear there was something exactly like that in that game. Mm. But I also did not finish that game. So will I like it? I don't know. Will I like the character creation? Most likely.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. You're at least going to really enjoy the first 30 minutes of Starfield.
And then I'll throw it away. It's fine. As long as I just keep making characters.
Just get it on Game Pass. It'll be fine.
This game demo is struggling with its ray tracing. Like, mm-hmm. it is just chugging along. It is barely watchable at the moment. I would not be happy with this frame rate playing the game. So, I don't know. Look, for me, ray tracing, I think ray tracing looks great, but the trade-off is never worth it. You can't fucking halve your frames per second for slightly better lighting textures. It's just not worth it. So I'll take that off. I'll kick that in the guts, probably stick on a DLSS. Hopefully this game will be good. Looks all right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think the coolest sort of you know, that like sort of one line descriptors of this I've seen is No Man's Skyrim. I thought that was a pretty good one. But basically they're doing some of that No Man's Sky stuff with the procedural generated over 1,000 planets kind of a thing. And for me, it felt very much in Fallout in space, which, you know, I guess what was I expecting? But I don't know, it seemed a lot more bland than Fallout to me. It shouldn't seem that way because you're fucking in space, but the kind of suits they've gone for are just like regular astronaut suits. Yeah. All the weapons are the same weapons from Fallout, but just like with different sort of colored skins. That's about it, really. None of them seem to really have any impact. It kind of looked like worse combat than Cyberpunk. The way the frame rate chugged at the very, very start there, just when you're getting off the ship, it was like running at like 15 frames per second. It did not look great.
And you just know it's running on the best possible graphic hardware that they've got at the moment. This is their best foot forward, so I don't know.
Yeah, so I think they shouldn't have shown anything yet. It was too early to show anything. I don't think this will be ready next year, personally. When I hear that there's going to be over 1,000 planets, I've got a feeling that there'll probably be about 10 planets with worthwhile, exciting stuff to visit and see, with like maybe a city or two and stuff like that. Because they did show like big bustling cities and all that kind of stuff. But I just can't imagine that being the bulk of the game. I just don't see how they'd be able to pull that off. The only way that No Man's Sky manages to have as many planets as it does is by it being completely procedurally generated, which works to some degree, but eventually you start to see the way things work. Like, you'll go to a planet and be like, oh, okay, well, this is the one that has lots of iron and this kind of temperature. I'm probably not going to find anything other than some minerals and that. Maybe there will be some difference in the typography to the map, but at the end of the day, who really cares? You're just seeing the same rocks on different planets.
I'm seeing some of the character models drop in video in graphics quality towards the end of the demo as well. That's interesting.
Yeah, look, it was a rough showing and, you know, big surprise. It's a Bethesda game. It's probably going to be broken at launch because every Bethesda game yet...
It was like fucking 2 seconds. It's just edit out that scene. It's not ready. Don't put it in your fucking gameplay demo.
I don't know, man. All that this has done for me is helped me breathe a breath of fresh air in that I'm not going to be rushing to upgrade my GPU anytime soon because I don't really care too much. Look, it looks like it'd be okay to play.
I love the character creation.
Right?
They look so cool.
And if you have Game Pass and an Xbox Series X or a really beefy PC, you'd probably have a fun time with it. But for me, nah, I would not bother, and it's not worth upgrading my PC just to play it. So
you know what? Yeah. Like, adding on what you were saying, I don't know if this is a hot take, but space, right? The actual concept of space, an enigma. Wow, the most interesting concept ever to humans. Wow, we'll never understand it. But then every space game, it's just like, you're on a spaceship, everything's gray. Okay, we're going to get off on a planet now. The planet's full of rocks. It's like nothing really ever captures like how cool space could actually be. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, we basically just landed in the desert, but on a different planet.
I know, you're right. It's always a fucking retelling of what we already have here on Earth, and that's boring. We want something weird and crazy. Like, where's my fungus planet with my crazy ass?
Exactly.
Like creatures and shit. I don't know.
Okay. See, maybe you would like Outer Worlds then Lockie, because you do get a bit of that. I'd say the first planet is probably the least interesting of all.
That's all I played.
I played Outer Worlds. I liked Outer Worlds. I thought it was a fantastic game.
And that's the thing for me with this. Like, we already have Outer Worlds, which is a very different thing, you know. Like, there's only like 6 or 7 explorable areas. Like, they're called planets, but you're only exploring like small, very small areas in those places. But it had this really distinct tone and art style to it that really made it stand out compared to a lot of other games, and there's great characters and great writing. And what we've seen so far of Starfield looks like they're just following the same Fallout formula, where you're going to have like 3 different factions that you can join. One of them are called like the Crimson Guard or some shit. I feel like I've heard that name for a faction in about 40 other games. It's just the same generic bullshit we've been getting over and over again, but this time it's in space.
Normally Crimson is vampire.
League, they're you.
So they better be space vampires, otherwise I'm going to be...
Well, I don't know if there's going to be space vampires in any of the games we have coming up in the next week. We have Fall Guys coming to PS5, Xbox Series X, Nintendo Switch, and Xbox One June 21st. So there's going to be a new season to go along with that. And that's also the free-to-play version of Fall Guys. So fuck yeah. Jump on. If you haven't played Fall Guys before, it's free-to-play now. Jump on board. It's a great game. I fucking love it. Shadowrun Trilogy is coming to PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch the same day. 23rd of June, Deliver Us the Moon is coming to PS5 and Xbox Series X, the game that asks a little bit too much of you. Disney Mirrorverse is coming to iOS June 23rd. I don't know, what the fuck? Disney Mirrorverse? Sounds like it's going to be some like weird, like, you know, multiple universe.
Yeah, another multiverse thing.
Bullshit. It's going to be Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts, yeah.
Fucking hell. bloody Rick and Morty popularizing multiverse shit. It's getting a bit much at this point. I don't know what universe I'm in at the moment. Like, how do we keep track of this shit? Naraka,
was it Rick and Morty or was
point?
It or was it Marvel's?
Oh, Rick and Morty was before Marvel started doing multiverse
really?
Shit. 100%. So. Yeah, Rick and Morty started in 2013.
Because they only really started when what, Doctor Strange came out?
Yeah, no, well, they started it with God, when did multiverse shit start? Loki really was the first multiverse thing because you see him start.
No.
The Loki TV show, yeah.
Oh, yeah, TV show, but at least Doctor Strange, the first one, they introduced all the multiverse stuff.
Nah, that was just time.
That wasn't just Doctor time. They had fucking realms with, like, realms bending in on each other. The bad guy was a god, was an evil god from another dimension.
Oh, okay. But still, like, that was, like, 2017. So, yeah, Rick and Morty definitely predates.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure, funnily enough,
okay.
Dan Harmon consulted on the Doctor Strange movie. He's like, oh, he's pretty much Rick.
Yeah.
He's like, I get it, he's Rick.
Yeah. Oh, well, if he consulted on it, why wasn't Doctor Strange a lot more cunty? I would have loved that. Just, like, really. And he was, but he wasn't, like, he didn't get right into it and just, like, you know, completely start dismantling all the structures and things. That's Dan Harmon stuff.
Look, his Letterboxd review is like 1 out of 10. He just wasn't cunty enough.
You know what I mean? Like, as soon as he gets his powers, he's like, okay, so this is what I'm going to do. Yep, fuck that shit. Yep, not interested in the kung fu stuff anymore. We're going to start doing things this way. You know what I mean? That would have been fantastic. I liked Doctor Strange, but that's just a very interesting take that never happened. I would have liked.
There you go. Well, Sonic Origins, some people say that's an interesting take on Sonic that's never happened. Well, no one's ever said that, to be honest. And that's coming to all platforms June 23rd. Capcom Fighting Collection coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch June 24th. Anthony, from What Do You Think About This? Shout out to you, fighting game. Fire Emblem Warriors, Three Hopes, coming to Nintendo Switch that same day. We had some few games coming out this week. Tara, any of these games interest you at all?
I already forgot the game, so I think that's a no.
We did talk about Doctor Strange for like most of that, so that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, like, a lot of people do like Fire Emblem. Like, I see lots of people being really keen for any Fire Emblem game that comes out. But my extent of Fire Emblem knowledge is, like, what, playing the characters in Smash Bros? That's about it. I know nothing else.
I am right there with you. I know the Warriors games are the ones that are designed by the Dynasty Warriors person. But yeah. Lockie, any of these stand out to you at all?
Fire Emblem Three Hosts. I'm so annoyed by that game. I fucking hate the direction they've decided to go in it by building the sequel into a non-turn-based strategy game. I'm very, very annoyed because I loved the original game. So fuck that. Fire Emblem.
No.
Fire Emblem, no hope. Fire Emblem, no thanks. It's all I can say.
This is a normal thing, Lockie. So it's just like how with the Legend of Zelda games, you have the Hyrule Warriors ones. They're made by totally different developers. There will be another Fire Emblem sequel, but this is like a spin-off. So there's been another Fire Emblem Warriors game before. It came out years ago.
I'm not interested.
No, fair. Totally fair.
I'm not interested. I'm not interested. They can fuck off. I understand what they're doing. They're trying to diversify. They don't have time to release their game. Don't build it into that story, because that's a good story. Don't touch it. Do a new content. Do a new fucking story for that game. Don't make it about the Three Houses one, because I want to play it and I want to enjoy it. Fuck.
Fair enough. You know what I enjoy? Taking a brief break and having a nice, lovely coffee. So how about we do that and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing. So this is for impressions when we talk about what games that we've been playing. So I'll basically just throw to you to start it and just ask what you've been playing this week.
Oh my god. I've literally only played Fortnite.
Do you want to go second? Do you want me to go first? Do you want me to go first so you can get a feel for it?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, because I've literally only been playing Fortnite. Because yeah. I had exams for so long, and I just didn't play anything for a while.
That's
and
now fine.
I'm just,
like, that's okay. That's okay. That. You can talk about anything. It doesn't need to all be, right. like, a proper structure. It doesn't... Okay. It's not a prof... It's whatever you feel like talking about yeah. and how you want to talk okay, about okay. it. You don't even need to give it a score or anything. It's just... okay. Yeah.
All right. Fuck tradition. Lockie, you're kicking us off with impressions. What have you been playing this week, my friend?
Yes, and now leading into that big speech around how old sucks, I've been playing an older game that came out a few months ago. No, seriously, this game was recommended by a friend of the show, and often he comes on and gives us fantastic commentary on games. So shout out to Soju Krillin. What's his new name? What's his
no,
new
it's
handle?
Just Soju AU now.
It's Soju AU, but also Soju AU _, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, that's right, because he couldn't get the actual Soju AU. That's so right. You gotta so we don't want that thief. I don't know if he's a thief. I no, he came up with the name. He's a beautiful mind. Unfortunately, we're not recommending the OG Soju _ AU. We're recommending the Soju AU _. There we go. Oh my God. And that's
great
my game
out.
Review. Yeah, great shout out. I know, I'm the sloppiest shout out known to mankind. So I have been playing me some Inscription. So Inscription was a game that was recommended by Soju. He pointed out that this game, just a quick little refresh for our listeners, this is a game on the PC. It is a card-based strategy game. It's a very interesting one, and we'll get into that. But essentially, it's got some pretty spicy horror themes. Think of Slay the Spire in terms of the actual card gameplay and progression. You have this very interesting individual that guides you kind of DM-like through these different maps that he sets up. Very creepy. And you progress in the same way you would in Slay the Spire, where you have different options you can take and routes you can take, and that allows you to build your deck and modify in certain ways, and the modification elements and the RNG are actually quite cool. So this game, I can't remember the name of the publisher, look it up, Inscription. So this game came out, I think, about 4 months ago. And it actually was released as quite an indie title, so it's not too expensive. You can pick it up on Steam for quite cheap. And honestly, the first impressions going into this game, I absolutely loved the atmosphere. The horror atmosphere was something that Soju shouted out earlier. It cannot be understated how interesting this sort of atmosphere is to the game, because it underpins everything you do. You come in a very interesting, creepy backdrop, and you don't know what the fuck's going on. You're in this creepy cabin in the woods with this man or what, shadowed, wreathed in darkness with very creepy, unsettling eyes, telling you what to do to play in this game, and some horrific things happen. I don't want to spoil the concepts of the game, but essentially you, if you lose and you die, that's it for that version of the character. What happens is terrifying. And that person's experience ends up becoming a soul in the cards that you play in the future. So almost very reminds me of Yu-Gi-Oh, actually, which is a very old callback. If you ever played if you ever watched the TV show Yu-Gi-Oh, one of the main antagonists literally stole the souls of people that lost against him and put them in the cards.
And you could see
pictures of Mokuba, which was a little kid of the rich guy, trapped in the cards. And so you had that. So you got this shit going on in this game, and it's fantastic. It works really well. It is not Yu-Gi-Oh, it's its own thing. So now getting that out of the way, get Yu-Gi-Oh out of your head. But you can see that there's a lot of love for the card game genre in general, and care and attention to detail that went into this one. And that's just the first part of the game. So here's the other thing, and I don't want to spoil too much, but this is one of those mindfuck games that you have to play. So if this game appeals to you enough to, if you like card games in any capacity, I strongly recommend playing this game so you can enjoy what this game has to offer. With that said, there are moments in it that don't always land, in my opinion. I think that the middle is large part of the middle is quite unnecessary. Again, without going into too much details because I don't want to spoil the experience, but there are just moments where maybe it drags on a little bit longer than it really needed to. But the overall message and the story and the feeling that you walk away with at the end is that this is an absolutely fantastic game. A lot of love and care came into this one. The music is fucking incredible. I listened to the original soundtrack the other day just because of how fucking good some of these songs are. One of my favorites is the Trapper theme. You'll know it when you hear it. It is just absolutely horrifying. There was one YouTube comment that I thought was fantastic that depicted it. I think it was something like hell ASMR, or which is just, yeah, just hellish themes being overlaid over actually a pretty bloody good song.
Wow.
And that's it. That's all I can say about this game. I think it is an absolute, it is not what it seems. Everything about this game is not what it seems. And some of those revelations are very satisfying. Some of them, not so much. Little bit, yeah. You know, generic, but as an overall package, I thoroughly enjoyed this one, and I would recommend it as a pickup.
Yeah, oh, it sounds bloody interesting. I'm not a fan of card games, but it definitely has me intrigued for sure. Are you playing on your PC, Lockie?
Yes. So this is a PC game. I don't think it's on any of the consoles yet. I'm sure it will make its way onto the consoles at some point, but I think this was just a PC release so far.
And are you playing like lights out, headphones on, all that good stuff?
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, nah. I mean, you can do it that way if you want to, but like at the end of the day, I'm just playing it on my couch, you know, with everything hooked up to my TV and just enjoying it for what it is. But yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's not a game where you're going to be shitting your pants, like, you know, where you've got your flashlight around every corner like some of the other horror games we're talking about. It's more like it's a terrifying game in what it is in theme and atmosphere, but the actual game itself, you actually, kind of in an Undertale-esque format, you start to recontextualize and understand these terrifying characters, and you start to actually root for them towards the end.
Interesting. Okay.
In certain ways, it's a very interesting game.
Yeah, you've piqued my interest. Maybe it's one when I'm finally done playing through all the From Software titles and stuff that I should check out. I don't know. Do you have any interest in Inscription at all, Tara?
Well, like initially, because when you mentioned it, I looked it up and I'm like, you know, I don't really play card based game. Well, not that I don't. It's just I never really have. Like, there was never really a game that I thought, okay, I'm going to play this. But then when you're describing it, I'm a little more intrigued now. Like, maybe I'll watch gameplay or something. I don't know, because, well, I don't really have a PC. I'm on my laptop. And I guess, I mean, a laptop could handle probably a card-based game, but still, I'm just like, okay, maybe I'll watch people play it. Yeah.
Oh, and I think that's the best way to go. I think it's one of those types of games where if you're not enjoying, if it's not your cup of tea or you don't have access to, you know, what it's being played on, I think this is a pretty good let's play.
Mm.
Yeah, it is an experience. It does drag on too long, and probably one of the benefits of the let's play is you can get to the meat and bones at that point. But as a player running through it myself, if you can do it that way, I would highly recommend experiencing it for yourself. We don't have a term for this, but I want to coin it. I call it the mindfuck genre, where the game, you know, takes you in like a different direction and you're like, oh, okay, right. Oh, shit. Okay, so that's not the game anymore. This is now the game. So, yeah, it's that type of thing, and it is very satisfying.
Okay, very cool. Do you have it sounds like you've rolled credits on Inscription. Do you have a review score for it?
Yeah, I've got a review score for it. I would say that for me, it's a solid 8 out of 10 experience. Some of the stuff, it does go on for too long, in my opinion. And to be honest, the first act is the act with the highest polish. You can tell that, like, there are some parts of the game where you're like, this is more of an afterthought, or, you know, they really needed to put more time into it. But overall, as someone that likes being, you know, challenged and enjoys puzzles and seeing fresh and innovative things, this was pretty bloody good. The story itself,
I could take or leave, but I applaud them going for it.
Inscription, Daniel Mullen's game sounds bloody awesome. I know Torja was very interested in this one as well too. Hopefully she's checked it out. I'll have to ask her. Tara, what have you been playing this week, my friend?
Well, you see, I've been playing a real indie game. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Fortnite.
Oh,
Fortnite.
Isn't that just two weeks? Isn't that what Fortnite is?
Yeah, that's the whole game. You just sit there and then you just watch a calendar pass. 2 weeks.
Oh my god, we've got a hipster on our hands here.
Some people just don't get it. I don't know, but yeah, honestly, no. Like it is kind of. It's not embarrassing to say, but it's just kind of a bit like. Yeah, I'm playing Fortnite, whatever, don't talk to me.
There is nothing wrong with mainstream. You have picked a game that is well loved and very, very popular. There is
not even that it's mainstream. I think it's just so funny. Like, I know like a lot of people play it, but it's such like, I don't know, like a kid thing as well. Like, oh yeah, Fortnite. But I know like so many adults play it. But anyway, this game, I don't know. I haven't played it for many, many years before this. Like, I downloaded it when it first came out, when there was huge hype around it. And I enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed it for about the first, let's say, 3 weeks. Until everyone and their uncle could just build a mansion out of the materials in, like, 3.5 seconds flat. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's where I hit my wall. Look, I know how to shoot a gun, all right? That's all I thought I needed to do. Apparently not. But now, many years later after release, they've got a zero build mode. You don't have to build anymore. Now you just shoot the gun, bang, bang, then you win. So
who would
that's
have thought
why.
Of making a shooting game where you don't build in it?
Yeah. Right?
Such innovation. They just strip out all the core mechanics that they were trying to like set themselves apart.
Yeah. And it made the game so much better, let me just tell you. For me, anyway. I just want a basic game where I can go bang, bang. That's it. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just less commitment than, say, like, I don't know, Call of Duty, right? That's a classic shooter. Everyone loves it. Yeah. When you mention shooters, you think, yeah, Call of Duty, so realistic. I don't want realism. I don't want to actually shoot someone. You know what I mean? And, like,
yeah.
It seems too... Like, I want to suspend belief, you know what I mean? I just want to be in a little cartoon world. There's a little fungus growing everywhere that when I eat the fungus, suddenly I'm like 10 times stronger. Yeah, that's what I want. I like that. So I've been playing that.
Get to dress up as Spider-Man while you're trying to get headshots on people.
Yeah, like I'm like in a Tom Holland skin, you know, shooting Spider-Man.
Hey, spot on.
Yeah, actually, hey. They did have Spider-Man. It's very strange what they're coming out with these days. There's, like, you can be Spider-Man, you can be Darth Vader, just doing, like, a BTS dance as one of your emotes. it's a lot. In, like, a good way. It's funny. But, yeah. It's, like, you know what? No, I'll stand by it. It's a great game. It's a good game. It's a great game, even. 10 out of 10? Maybe not. Actually, the no build mode, 10 out of 10. The thing that the game is actually made to do with building and setting it apart from everything else, 4 out of 10.
No, that's very fair. Like, I tried playing Fortnite years ago because my nephew's into it. He loves it and he's always asking me to play it with him. And I tried it and the building, it broke my brain. Like, I'll see my nephew, he'll like pull out a gun, shoot someone, then build a wall, then like, you know, like 360, then shoot someone else, and it's too much for me. I'm too old. I can't handle it. So an idea of a no build mode actually does entice me a little bit, because Fortnite's mechanics are solid. Like, it feels good to play, it looks fun, and you get to see all the different wacky characters running around and stuff like that. Have you managed to, now that there's a no build mode in there, have you managed to get any victory royales yet?
Yeah, finally. When there was build mode, I think at the very beginning I was kind of close, but as soon as everyone started to get grid, there was no chance. There was no chance. I would make it all the way to the end every time, and then they'd just build a skyscraper, and I'm like, well, how am I going to compete with this? But now, I actually, I was streaming the other day, and this was, you know, like one of the first times I've played the Nobile Bird solo, because usually I'll play with friends. Yeah. And it was the first time I like ever got a solo win. It was on stream, so I was like, oh, okay, I'm just going to act awesome. Like this happens all the time. But really, I was like, wow, oh my gosh, look at me go.
Oh, yeah. Nice job. Yeah, I'm definitely not in the Victory Royale camp. Lockie, do you have any interest at all at having a round of Fortnite?
Look, it's not the game for me. I love that other people love it, but it's just not mm-hmm. something that I was ever really able to get into. Yeah. I do like good shooters, but I don't know. I did my COD time, which was, you know, that was my big competitive shooter time. Yeah. And once I grew out of that, in the sense of like, and I don't know about, maybe grow out's not the right word, but it's just once you've done that for, you know, good part of a decade, you then go, okay, I've done that. I don't need to do any more of that. Yeah. And so that's where I'm coming from. So it's not my area. It's not something that it would be right for me to speak on. Unless it's Animal Crossing, in which case I'm happy to shit on it.
Oh, no.
Well, look, the no build mode had me interested just because I'd like to be able to play with my nephew. Like, he enjoys Fortnite, and it'd be nice to be able to play with him. But I asked him if he's been playing no build mode. He's like, no, it's crap. You can't build in it.
Well, like, well, really?
Yeah, that's the point.
So
he's very perceptive, that one.
Oh, he is. He knows when something says no build, he knows there'll be no building in it. Yeah. Oh dear. That's Fortnite. Bloody that's a game. I'm not going to play it probably. I don't know.
Maybe get on it, smash it.
Have you jumped into any of the battle pass stuff or anything, Tara? Have you forked out any cash?
No, like, this is the thing. I refuse to pay any money. No, I will not. But as there's like a free tier to like the battle pass, right? So you don't have to like pay for the battle pass. And eventually, if you play enough, it gives you like, what is it, V-Bucks. When you get enough V-Bucks, you can just buy a battle pass. My friend said I think he bought the battle pass in like the very first season, and what, there's like 17 or 20 seasons now, and he's never had to buy it again, because every single time you just get enough V-Bucks to like buy the next battle pass anyway. So I'm like, okay, I'll just do that. I'm not forking out any money.
So what are kids even using V-Bucks for these
just
days,
to buy
then?
Skins
because
like in the battle the pass store. There's like certain things, but then on the store, man, it's crazy on there. It's wild. One day it's Darth Vader. The next day, it's like LeBron James. You don't never know what to expect.
Yeah,
with V-Bucks,
wow.
Do they ever? Mm-hmm. Do they ever have like exclusive purchases where they're like, "No, we don't even accept V-Bucks. We want your cash."
I don't know. I don't think I've seen it. Like, I know there's this thing. I haven't really looked into it, but there's like a subscription. Like, it's called like the Fortnite Club or something like that, and you pay however much a month. And maybe there's like exclusive things in that, but
Yep. They give you a few V-Bucks here and there.
Yeah,
it's interesting because I asked, because I know I had the exact same experience with Dota, because they had their in-game currency, and then they had the currency where you could only purchase exclusives based on pumping in fresh currency. And then they fucked that off, and instead of being able to straight up buy the skins and things you wanted, you had to buy the casino roulette chances to be able to roll the right skin and award. I hated that.
No.
Now it's all just gambling mechanics to be able to. You have to use real money to be able to purchase the chance to get the thing you want in a big pool of things that you wouldn't want.
Yeah, and I think they took that out of... They did used to have loot llamas in Fortnite, but they took that out a few years ago, I think, now. I think it's all about that rotating.
Oh, they still exist.
Oh, you can still get the loot boxes.
Well, no, not... Oh, actually, no, it exists in-game. Like, there are loot llamas just kind of, like, jumping around sometimes.
Oh, but
and
you
they
can't
drop
buy
stuff.
Loot llamas.
But I don't think it's, like, a loot box type thing.
Yeah. So it's just random appearing chance, and you might get something really cool from it.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a whole heap of fun.
Yeah, if there's no way you can spend real money to buy the loot boxes, then that's sweet. But yeah, now it's all about that itchy and scratchy money, Lockie. That's what they want you spending. it just keeps right. you invested. Sunk cost fallacy, all that shit.
Still, with that said, I think Fortnite does it a lot more ethically than most multiplayer gaming. Because if you can actually get the game pass through just playing the game and winning enough of the internal currency, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
I agree. I think that's great. You can potentially play for free forever if you're happy with the skins they give you in the battle pass.
Because even then, in the battle pass, there's like all these opportunities to unlock, you know, just like more currency. So I guess you can save enough to get the battle pass for next season, but then you might still get more on top of that. So you could probably even buy stuff from the store depending on how much you play. So potentially, you could just play like a lot and get whatever you want.
I could talk about Fortnite forever. I could talk about it for a fortnight. But unfortunately, I've got to get to work. So we have to end the episode. But thank you so much for joining us, Tara. It's been a lot of fun. Your first podcast, you did bloody well. And it's great to get to talk to you about all this new upcoming stuff coming up and all kinds of video games. And a bit of Fortnite. It's safe to say we've never had someone cover Fortnite on the show before.
Thank you for having me. So fun.
Oh, Lockie, it's always good to have you with us, you bloody wonderful legend, you. But as before always, we get your final words of wisdom, because I'm doing this in the wrong order, Tara, where can everyone find your wonderful Twitch channel?
It is twitch.com/AOCBurner. AOC, like the politician, I'm not affiliated. Don't
I? And you'll be streaming Fortnite at the moment?
I was thinking Attack on Titan, but that's Attack on...
Attack
that
on...
That doesn't work. That doesn't work. Yeah. What I'm thinking is just insane.
So you've still been streaming Fortnite at the moment, Tara?
Fortnite, Overwatch. I'm looking to, because now that, you know, studies are finished, I can probably actually start more games. I think I've just been playing those because, you know, it's easy. I don't like have to dedicate a lot of time to it, but I'm open to playing more.
There you go, bloody oaf. Well, yeah, all that will be in the description of the podcast down below. And I will be playing The Quarry this week, I promise. It's going to happen 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time on Wednesday. I'm going to do it. Ooh. I will. And please leave us a rating or review if you can. Oh, and I should mention, before we go, News to Reviews is taking a break for the next couple of weeks. We got some bonus content for you there. But yeah, the next 2 weeks, we will not have regular episodes. But we'll be coming back the second week of July. So yeah, 2 weeks without regular episodes and we're back to normal. Yeah. Lockie, do you have any final words of wisdom for our listeners?
Final words of wisdom. Oh, I don't have anything wise to say, but just to give context to why we're taking that small break, wonderful guest show of our podcast is getting married. Aaron.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll mind us saying that he's getting married. It's a wonderful time, and he's graciously invited both of us to the wedding. So we want to be able to celebrate his wonderful, wonderful situation. So stay tuned for that, and we'll hope to get him back on the show soon, shortly after, to tell us how it all went.
Big shout out to Aaron. I felt so bad for him having his wedding get delayed over and over again thanks to COVID. I'm glad that we're finally getting to be able to do it. So yeah, big congratulations to Aaron and Rochelle and everyone out there. Please take care of yourselves and take care of one another. What?